Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah knew about the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? Well, in a dream, Isaiah saw God Almighty sitting on his throne in heaven. As the seraphim called out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The power in the voices of the seraphim was frightening. The power of the voices caused the shaking of the foundations of the temple and heightened Isaiah's fear, especially when the temple filled with smoke. That smoke verified the physical presence of God. Isaiah knew that he was in big trouble. He feared this holy God because he was a sinner. And he called out, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah knew that God was present in the smoke. For you see, in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle and in the temple, on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go in to sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, they would fill that room with smoke so that the high priest would not see God with his eyes and die. It was so real to them that they even tied a rope around the ankle of the high priest so that if he did see God and died, they could pull him out of there without having to go in themselves and get him. It was that real to them. Isaiah confessed that he lived among a people of unclean lips. And one of the seraphim flew to Isaiah. He took a hot coal with tongs from the altar of sacrifice and touched Isaiah's tongue to atone for Isaiah's sins. The seraph told Isaiah, "Behold," remember, looky, looky, "behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." The hot coal from the altar of sacrifice seared the sinful flesh of Isaiah's lips, thus consecrating and dedicating Isaiah as God's prophet to the people. God had done all that was necessary to save Isaiah from his uncleanness. Isaiah's unclean lips were made clean and fit to speak as a prophet, God's mouthpiece to his people. And the voice of the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" This is the first time the Lord had spoken in this passage. The other speaking was the seraphim. And the voice of the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." Thus Isaiah became the triune God's holy prophet. Isaiah's confession and God's absolution made Isaiah clean. God's declaration for Isaiah to go made him God's holy prophet. You may remember, when I tell you this, you will remember, that on May the 31st, 2009, George Tiller, an abortionist, was murdered while attending his church, a Lutheran church in Wichita, Kansas. Mr. Tiller at one time had been a member of a congregation within our synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but was excommunicated from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod several years before his death. He later joined a congregation within the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, where they don't preach or teach against abortion, where the insurance they provide for their clergy and church workers pays for abortion, a church where he was shot and killed. Mr. Tiller was a medical doctor, though it is hard for me to understand how a man who kills little babies can be called a doctor. Mr. Tiller was one of the few abortionists remaining at that time who performed late-term abortions. By his own admission, he had performed over 60,000 abortions. That is, he killed more than 60,000 little babies. According to the evidence he left, George Tiller had no fear of God. Any man who killed over 60,000 of Christ's little babies gives much reason for us to believe that he did not fear God. I truly hope that George Tiller did have some fear of God, that he repented of his sins and believed in Jesus Christ as his Redeemer. And coming to another hot topic, we hear constantly on national news and otherwise stories of same-sex marriage. Let me be clear about this. I'm not giving you my personal opinion about this. As a pastor who believes that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God, it is my duty to warn those who commit adultery by being in same-sex relationships that they are living in sin and should repent. The Bible states that homosexuality is a sin, even an abomination. I think it is safe to say that many in this country and all over the world have no fear of God in this matter. If so, they wouldn't be proclaiming homosexuality to be a work of God. Homosexuality is a sin, as is any form of adultery. And not only is it adultery, it is also a sin against God's order of creation. But such is the world that we live in. Abortion doctors claim that abortion is not murder. And some claim that homosexuality is not a sin, but a work of God. Dear ones, abortion is murder. It's a sin. Homosexuality is adultery. It is a sin. According to Scripture, the holiness of God demands that sin be confessed and punished. Those who have no fear of God do not consider God's holiness as reason to fear Him. Many who have no fear of God say that if God is a loving God, then He won't punish sin. And if God is truly a loving God, then no one will go to hell. But friends, God's holiness finds our sinful condition repulsive. No matter what humans think about God, God is God and we are not God. Who God is I am that I am. The triune God. And what God is holy. The holy triune God cannot tolerate sin. You and I have come here this morning to be in the presence of Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We proclaim God's holiness when we sing the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. God is present with us here as we call on His holy name, but we can't see Him with our own eyes in the sinful condition in which we live, or we would die. So God hides Himself to come to us. He is veiled as the Holy Spirit in the words from Holy Scripture and the sacrament of Holy Baptism. And Christ is present with us here, veiled in the Word that is the Holy Scriptures, and veiled in the Word become flesh and blood, hidden in a piece of bread and a sip of wine. Are you awed? Are you in awe? Do you tremble at the presence of God? You should. I should. I'm reminded of Martin Luther, who shook uncontrollably the first time he consecrated and distributed the Lord's Supper. When we come into God's presence in divine worship, we, like Isaiah, should say, "Woe is me! Woe is me! I am lost. I stand as a sinner in the presence of Holy God. I am good as dead." And the only reason we survive in the presence of God is that God poured the hot coals of His judgment on the body of His Son. Yes, we are sinners who should fear God and tremble before Him. The punishment from God for the sins of every person who has ever lived or will live was executed on Jesus, God's only begotten Son. And it is by confession of our sins and our faith in Christ's authority to absolve sins that we are made clean. Then it is by contact with the holy things of God, the holy things of God, that we are made holy, so that we can be in God's presence as His holy people. You confessed your sins earlier and received absolution from God by the authority of Christ through your pastor. That made you clean. In a few minutes at the Holy Supper, God's Son will give you His holy flesh, veiled in a wafer of bread. God's Son will sprinkle His holy blood on your heart to forgive your sins, to soothe your aching conscience, and to make you holy. Our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ is holy, 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 because He is God. Our holy God is a God who loves and forgives those who sin against Him. And when we look at ourselves in relation to the Trinity, when we look at Thee, Me, and the Trinity, what we see is that, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I ask you now to stand.